Spotlight.
Good evening, listeners. Welcome to today's Spotlight. I'm Arjun Chaudhary, and today we will be discussing about the Union Cabinet decisions. And to discuss this, we have with us Semicon expert Ashok Chandak. We have economic analyst Shishir Sinha and Supreme Court advocate Ashish Pandey. Warm welcome to everyone. Shri Ashok Chandak, our key question is regarding the micro-LED display facility, which is being set up for the first time. Could you tell us something about the significance of this development when it comes to Semicon?
So first, I would say India today has taken a very important step in a semiconductor journey. 10 projects were approved, 2 more approved yesterday. And that strengthens India's growing semiconductor ecosystem and reinforces country's vision of becoming a global technology manufacturing hub. Now, coming to the particular project approved yesterday on display, this is strategically very important. The reason is simple. The displays are required for most of our electronic products. More than 200 million smartphones, 30 million TV panels every year, plus the automotive, industrial, everywhere these displays are required. And as of now, everything is imported in India. So there is zero local production on that side. So that is why one of this project is strategically important, and it is being positioned as the first commercial GaN-based mini and micro-LED wafer manufacturing initiative. This takes India beyond electronics assembly into the advanced semiconductor display manufacturing. The capacity which is being approved for this is about 72,000 square meters of display annually, which can make about 7 to 8 million pieces of the smartphone size display. If they assemble the smaller display, then it can be more than 10 million displays. That's very unique, and this is the first of its kind in India.
Let's now hear what Information and Broadcasting Minister Ashwini Vaishnav had to say.
Ab tak 10 semiconductor units ka approval hua hai India Semiconductor Mission mein. Usme se 2 mein commercial production already start ho gaya hai. Ek bahut important faisla liya gaya. Micro LED ke liye bahut prayas karke South Korea ka collaboration karke ye apna project leke aaye, jisme ki pehli micro LED ka fab India mein lagega. जो माननीय प्रधानमंत्री जी ने अप्रूव की करीब 3000 करोड़ रुपीस का इन्वेस्टमेंट इसमें जाएगा.
Sir, could you tell us about the progress of this development in terms of the technology? Gallium nitride is being used, and apart from the technology being used in this semiconductor manufacturing facility, the projects announced by the government is expected to generate employment for 2,230 skilled professionals.
Gallium nitride is a new technology. It is called as a compound semiconductor. I mean, this compound semiconductor were known for several years, but there was no sufficient headway in terms of making commercially viable and high volume manufacturing. So this is something which is new and unique even worldwide. There are very few companies those have got this capability. And that is where we see this is a strategic value of the project. It is not only question of production numbers. It is about building India's foundational capability into this GaN-based epitaxy, which will be used in currently for this project for a micro LED semiconductor related manufacturing activity. And these display markets are growing fast worldwide, so they will have opportunity to supply India as well as outside of India. But this is very unique and this is quite new, and that way India really gets into this breakthrough and a new technology domain. And I would just add one more line that these projects are supporting the domestic value addition. And one challenge in our electronic sector has been mostly we are importing the components and assembling. So after this project is operational, it creates a major value addition in terms of the local production, not only creating the jobs, but also the economic value would be retained in the country. So overall, I will just conclude, India's semiconductor journey is now moving from vision to execution. The direction is right, the momentum is strong, and opportunity ahead is historic.
Thank you, Ashok Chandakji, for being with us. Shishir, good to have you on this discussion. The mission for cotton productivity, what do you think is the significance of this? There seems to be a vision of the government, farm to fiber to factory to fashion, fashion to foreign, and then focuses on cotton productivity. Could you just simplify this for the benefit of our listeners?
See, the most important thing is that the farming needs to be very, very profitable. So what you can do to have profitability, to have the value addition. And that value addition will be possible only when we have a mission mode kind of event. So this particular, when we talk about Kapas Kanti and you mention about 5F from farm to foreign, that is going to give a kind of value addition to the cotton farmers. So at this moment, if we talk about the number of cotton farmers, there are around 32 lakh cotton farmers in the country. And if you talk about the productivity, in fact, we are the second largest cotton producer with 297 lakh. So now the important thing is, and especially having a larger share of global supply chain in the textile industry, we need to have a kind of more value addition, more R&D kind of thing. And at the end of day, we should not just fulfill what the domestic market is looking for. We should also fulfill what the global market is looking for. So this scheme is going to benefit that particular, and this scheme is going to achieve that particular aim. And I believe that within few years, we will see more and more competitive strength, because at this moment, we are facing tough competition from a South Asian country or even our neighborhood countries. So to meet those competitive challenges, we need to have more value added and more better product. And this particular scheme, I believe, and I'm sure that going to provide some impetus to the cotton farming in the country.
We're seeing that factories which are engaged in doing business for brands overseas in the form of offshore outsourcing, they're now getting integrated units in place. So they're looking, for instance, to develop the yarn itself by importing cotton from various sources, domestic or international, depending upon what their cost structure is. Do you feel that cotton productivity is just one step in ensuring development of our textile industry?
Certainly, and if you go by the component of this scheme, we have the four component. One is the research and input development. Then we have the production upscaling, then post-harvest and textile, and finally diversification and sustainability. I believe the third one, which post-harvest and textiles, like one particular, what we call as a species of cotton, that is called Kasturi cotton, which is a very, very value-added product, that needs to be recognized. And that is why the scheme has given a specific instruction on this particular kind of cotton. So I believe the effort is not just to encourage the productivity of the cotton farm or what you call as the cotton farming, but also to have more and more value added, and the cotton which are having much more what we call the finer details, they should get encouraged by this thing. And that is why R&D has also been given importance. So I'm sure that after this scheme, textile industry and cotton farmers both will be benefited.
Union Cabinet decisions.
Emergency Credit Line Guarantee Scheme.
How do you see that working out?
That is for the MSME, non-MSME and airlines. Basically, this is called Emergency Credit Line Guarantee Scheme, which was first introduced in India in 2020 during COVID time. And the purpose of that scheme was to provide working capital assistance with a guarantee by the sovereign. So suppose that you are taking loan from the government, from a bank or from a NBFC, and you are not able to repay that. So in that situation, what the bank will do? I mean, they will suffer loss. So in order to provide some kind of support to the banks and the NBFC to provide credit to the affected sector or the stressed sector like MSME, non-MSME and the airlines, the fifth edition of Emergency Credit Line Guarantee Scheme has been announced. Under this scheme, a total credit flow of 2.55 lakh crore, which includes 5,000 crore exclusively for airlines. And the most important thing under the scheme is that the MSME will get credit at the interest rate not more than 9%. Non-MSME will also get at not more than 9%. But for airlines, there is no interest rate fixation. That is up to the negotiation between the airline per se and the banks or the NBFC. Since the airlines are facing much bigger problem than any of the sector, so that is why special carving out is there for the airline sector. The third factor, third element of this scheme is that the repayment period for MSME and non-MSME is 4 years plus 1 year. That is 1 year of moratorium. So total becomes 5 years. And for airlines, it will be 5 years plus 2 years. That is a 7 years. 2 years is the moratorium. And the effort is to give the loan at a lower rate with a sovereign guarantee. So banks and NBFCs will be encouraged to provide money to the stressed sector, and this money will be available one time. I mean, you as a stressed sector can go to bank or NBFC. If your record is clean, that means you are not a defaulter, then you can get up to 100 crore if you are MSME. If you are non-MSME, you will get 100 crore. And if you are an airline, you will get 1,500 crore.
Let's now move on to the FRP, which is a fair and remunerative price of 365 rupees per quintal. Let's now hear what Information and Broadcasting Minister Ashwini Vaishnav had to say.
2012-13 mein agar hum dekhen tab se 2012-13 se 220, 230, 255, 290, 305, 315, 340, 355 aur ab 365 rupees गन्ना किसानों के लिए अप्रूव किया है कैबिनेट ने, जो बहुत ही सिग्निफिकेंट इंक्रीज है। करीब करीब जो कॉस्ट ऑफ प्रोडक्शन है उसका 50% अधिक देने का जो मिशन रहता है उसके कंपैरिजन में ये करीब 200% ऑफ द कॉस्ट ऑफ प्रोडक्शन, ऑल इंडिया वेटेड कॉस्ट। करीब 1,00,000 करोड़ रुपए किसानों को इस पूरे प्रोग्राम में मिलेगा।
For sugarcane for this particular season, and there is based on a basic recovery rate of 10.25%.
I think sugarcane is the only produce, agriculture produce, which are not under MSP. For 21-22 agriculture produce, we have MSP, and for sugarcane, we have the FRP, fair and remunerative price. So if you go by the 365 rupees per quintal for the sugarcane, and nearly 1 crore sugarcane farmers are going to be benefited. And the most important thing is that around 1 lakh crore rupees additional they will get. So, if the farmers are getting more money in the hand, that is going to benefit the rural economy. So, at the end of the day, it is the overall economy which is going to get the benefit. And also, please remember that this money is not going to be given by the government. This money is going to be given by the sugar mills. And the state governments they also have the flexibility to provide bonus. So, many of the state governments are also giving bonus. So, at the end of the day, sugarcane farmers are going to be benefited. The farming will be much more profitable for them. And just like the cotton one which we were talking in the beginning, sugarcane farmers will also get benefit by this scheme.
Well, thank you so much, Shishir Sinha, for being with us on Akashvani. So, I'm joined by Supreme Court Advocate Ashish Kumar Pandey. We will get his opinion on the introduction of the Supreme Court Number of Judges Amendment Bill 2026 in Parliament, which effectively increases the judge strength by 4 from the present 33 to 37. Let's now hear what Information and Broadcasting Minister Ashwini Vaishnav had to say.
Supreme Court mein judges ki sankhya badhai gayi hai 33 to 37 plus 1, 38. 38 is including the CJI. 4 judges ki sankhya badhai gayi hai. Aur agar 2014 se dekhen aap, to lagatar judges ki sankhya badhate gaye hain. 2014 se agar hum dekhen, to 25 Supreme Court ke judges the. 25 se pehle Pradhanmantri Shri Narendra Modi ji ki adhyakshata mein NDA sarkar ne 30 से 33 किया और 33 से 37 किया, यानी करीब करीब 50% जजेस की संख्या में वृद्धि की है।
Could you tell us the significance of this increase in count, and do you feel that this will now lead to a speedy disposal of cases?
As you rightly pointed out, the 33 plus one Chief Justice, so total sanction is strength as of today is 34. And if you say this is a very necessary and welcome step, I mean, it shows that there is a growing understanding among the top echelons of our policymakers that our judiciary is severely stressed. You see, in India, we have more than 5 crore cases which are pending till date. I mean, and as far as the Supreme Court condition is concerned, more than, let me give you the exact figure, approximately 92,604 cases are pending as on today. And if we compare it with the sanctioned strength, there are only 34 Supreme Court judges. Today only, if we go by the national judicial data grid, we find that more than 2,000 cases were listed today in Supreme Court of India, and to deal with those cases, there were only 34 judges. And effectively, there are 32 judges. 2 vacancies are still, I mean, judges are not appointed in the Supreme Court. So effectively, we have 32 judges, 31 plus CJI. So in this scenario, if the government had decided that the number of Supreme Court judges should be increased to 38, it's a necessary and welcome step. The main problem we face, this is that the population to judges ratio in our country is on a lower side. Effectively, we find that in India, there are approximately 22 judges per million population. Even the Law Commission of India, in its 120th report that was given in 1987, that the recommendation was approximately 50 judges per million population. But today, as I already said, that we have approximately 22 judges per million population in India. And in such a situation, this is very welcome, this step, but much more is required to be done in this regard.
Well, thank you, sir, for being with us on Akashvani and giving us an insight. Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app News on AIR and our YouTube channel News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.